في رب العالمين، نستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به عز وجل. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Praise be to Allah, the guardian of all the cherished and sacred favor of all the world. We seek His assistance. We believe in Him. We put our trust in Him. We ask Him for forgiveness. I bear witness that nothing is worthy of worship except Allah alone, the one alone. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and His messenger. Allah Most High says in the Quran, "Araita alladhi yukadhibu bid-din." Have you observed the one who belies or misrepresents religion? فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَتُعُ الْيَتِينُ. That is such one, or that is the one who refuses the offer, who denies or rejects or refuses the offer. Praise be to Allah Most High, who is the creator of every single thing, who says in the Quran that everything that He has created glorifies Him, and that all creatures have their mode of worship. All creatures have their mode of worship. Therefore, we must understand that while we are meeting here today, in this corner, human beings, in the order of the Muslims, and performing our prayer as we perform our prayer, we must understand that all creatures that Allah has created have their mode of worship. And that they all glorify Him. Everything that He has created glorifies Him. And again, Allah Most High, He says that I have not created the human being or the jinn for a purpose other than my worship. Today, on the day of Jum'ah, we have gathered here not only to make prayer, but to understand our religion, so that we will be able to more completely fulfill our purpose as human beings, as Muslims. And that purpose is to worship Allah, to worship Allah. Allah says that He has not created the human being or the jinn for a purpose other than His worship. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is the peace and the blessings be upon Him, He has taught us that everything we do in the way of good is an act of worship. The year, the prayer that we perform, the ritual of prayer, which is a very powerful institution if we understand it, the ritual of prayer that we perform, it captures for us the essence of man's life, the essence of his purpose. It captures for us the focus of human life. And in all of its rak'ahs, sections, and gestures, or positions that we take, it is speaking to the central need in the human life. We didn't come today to give you a football lecture on the prayer, but to bring the message of Al-Islam in a simple way, clear way, so that we'll be able to live full lives as Muslims. That is, live on our purpose to a fuller degree, or more degrees, and with greater ease. With greater ease. But the same Lord Allah says in the Quran that He does not desire hardship for any creature. That He desires for us ease. But the same Lord also says that He has treated human beings into trial and toil of difficulty. He has treated them into difficulty. And the same Lord says, إِنَّمَا عَلَى أُسْرِ يُسْرًا. And indeed, it is with difficulty that you come to relax. And I choose to use that word relax because of the event. Use that word today. And I thought it was more expressive or a clearer statement than the one that you may have eaten. Praise be to Allah. So dear beloved Muslims, if we understand the good life as an act of worship, and the act of worship then has stages, and whenever we're doing the simplest thing of good, that is an act of worship. But the highest act of worship is to what? To give you all for the pleasure of Allah. To give you all for Allah's pleasure. Mind you, Allah is not one who enjoys things as we enjoy things, because He says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ. He is not like anything He has created. No, His pleasure is not like my pleasure. I don't get that His pleasure like I get my pleasure. His pleasure is above me. But He says we should live for His pleasure. The object of human being in Al-Islam, and in most of the established religions, is to please God. Our religion is very clear in its meaning or in purpose. The very name Muslim, we say we are Muslim. The very name Muslim carries the meaning of one who has accepted to please God. He's accepted in his heart, in his life, to live to please God. And in accepting in his heart and in his life to live to please God, he has been rewarded with a state of peace. With a state of peace. He has resigned himself to be at ease, to be at peace. And he has found that the only way he can have peace is by not following his way, but following the way of the Lord who created him. Indeed, so that's the Muslim. And our religion is called Islam, commonly. But we know properly in the Quran, Al-Islam, Al-Islam. And it means the exercise of surrender that brings one into peace for the purpose of pleasing God. This is a wonderful, wonderful religion. The more the Muslim learns about his religion, the more humble he becomes. The more appreciative he becomes. The more easy he is to live with. Oh yes. Praise be to Allah. Everything glorifies God. One of the main problems we have in the society is that we think ourselves to be too important. And in thinking ourselves to be too important, we live as self-promoters. And that life burdens you. That life, it distresses the person. That life makes the person hard to live with. You see? It's very important that we understand these basic principles or basic facts or concepts in our religion, that God, He is glorified. And God, He is the Almighty. And God, He is the Absolute. And we are short of perfection. And we are striving for perfection. Isn't it wonderful that God has created a creature that can never be an angel? God has created a creature that can never really be God. But yet He has put in that creature's nature an urge, an aspiration, a desire to be perfect. That means that He is going to, if He keeps that desire in Him, He's going to grow toward the maximum possible for Him. And that's what Allah wants. Allah gave us the desire to be perfect, and in wanting to be perfect, we become perfect in our spirit. Though we are not perfect in our form. We can never be perfect in our form. Human form is not perfect. But in desire to be perfect, we become perfect in our spirit. Isn't that wonderful? So, say a brother, man, I heard you don't cheat on your wife. I wish I could be like you. I heard you don't lie. I wish I could be like you. Well, that desire in you is going to grow you towards being more and more like that value or that quality you admire, right? Yeah, because you want to. So the desire in you for perfection is really a perfection of your spirit. But when you don't desire to get rid of the self chain that's on you, then your spirit hasn't become one of mukmin, one of mukmin, pardon me, one of mukmin. See, the mukmin is higher in grade than the Muslim, although the mukmin is a Muslim too. See, the Muslim is from here all the way up to the seven heavens, right?
Right.
He's from the base all the way up to the seven heavens, the Muslim.
That's right.
But now, as you go up, then he takes on qualities that may not necessarily be on the first floor. You see? So the Mu'min, he represents a higher development. The Mu'min. And isn't it wonderful that Allah wants us to be not only Muslims, but Muslims? Read the Quran and see how many times He addressed us Muslims. And then see how many times He addressed us Muslims. Yeah, I still have Muslims. Oh, you believe it. He says that more often than He says, yeah, I still have Muslims. Oh, you Muslims. You see? So we got three Muslim families.
Right.
But we need more Muslims, don't we?
Right.
Yes. So God says also that He has sakhara lakum, that He has rendered into your spirit everything that is in the sky and in the earth. Now, He said everything glorifies Him. And He says He has rendered into your service everything that is in the skies and in the earth. Now, look at the wonderful position He has given to the human being. If the human being will just surrender His way to God's way. What does that mean? That means that God has made the sun, the moon, the stars, the wind, the rain, the elements above, and all these things below, the earth, the minerals, the water, the sea, the lake, the river, and what's in there, made all of this for me to bring it into service. For me to bring it into service. Now look, just let your mind quickly scan history and the world. and see who has been doing that. Has it been the followers of Paul Blondin? At one time, in the early period of the history of the Muslims, yes, it was the followers of Prophet Muhammad. They were engaging in all of the productive, healthy fields of knowledge. They became leaders of the sciences. In fact, through the effort of the Muslims, with the light of the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad, peace be on him, enlightenment dawned again, or redawned, upon the world. This is historical fact. And it went on for a few hundred years, and then the West took over, Europe. And since then, Europe and America has been out front with the sciences, with industry, with the leadership. But God said to the Muslims, I have brought all of these things you see in the sky and in the earth into service for human beings. And he has said also that he made human beings to be responsible creature, custodian, responsible creature, trust bearer, one bearing a trust. For what? For the order in the environment, right? So we're trying to manage to live up to or cope with the responsibility of personal life and family life. But Allah says he has given you much more responsibility than that. He has made you the responsible creature on this earth for your soul environment. Now again I say, just let your mind scan history and the world and see who has accepted that responsibility. Praise be to Allah. Alright, and Levi, you get me who this means? Have you observed the one who relies on this represents religion? But that is a Levi endure in the team. But that is the one who denies the orphan. What is an orphan? An orphan is one who is a minor. An orphan is the one who does not have parents to look out for him. Right? All right. Now, if we look beyond that genetic description and look in the world and society, can't we find many orphans? When they freed us, said, go, you're on your own, black man of America. You're not a slave anymore. What did they release? They released an orphan. Because he had been taken, or his parents had been taken from him. His father and his mother was not around. He was an orphan. Have you seen the one who misrepresents religion? He is the one who denies the offer, who rejects the offer. So dear beloved Muslims, we have to accept responsibility. Allah will have to accept responsibility. And the responsibility that is placed upon a human being is we can never finish this job. He has given us more work than we can finish. We will work always. that Allah has also said in Quran, so at ease, pleased with yourself and pleasing to your Creator. Return to your Lord, enter you into His paradise. This is the first person in the Quran. I'm giving it to you. Enter you among my workers. Oh, this is a different idea of paradise. God can say, enter you among my resters. He can say, enter you into paradise. Join my resting people. He says, enter you in the company of my worship.
Any work can never get through.
I heard an old fellow, he was explaining how come he had stayed around so long and looking so well and doing so well and so sharp and wistful. He said, because I do not accept retirement. He said, I believe that work is retirement. That was Quranic in concept. He said, I believe that work is retirement. In other words, you go from work to work. You work in one, you work to bring about good situations, then you retire from that after it's completed. You retire to what? To more work. And that's how you live. That's what keeps you around here. That's what makes you happy. A real human being cannot feel happiness in their life if they are not doing something constructive. But when they know that they have done something today, constructive, something that represents progress, from someone, they feel good. But when they finish the day and look on back on the day and say, oh, I didn't do anything that amounted to progress for any soul, for anybody, for any creature, oh, that's a bad way to go to bed. So understand that Allah does not call us to come into a paradise where we go to sleep. Are we rest? Are we float? Are levitate forever? Allah asks us to come into a paradise wherein we work.
We work.
But it's a higher level of reality than this one, but it's still activity. We don't believe in that idea that creation rests. So God did this first day, second day, third day, seventh, sixth, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, then he rested. That's not the Muslim. No. Allah says in the Quran, he's not rested. At every instant, he is in a work, and he brings about wonderful things. He is never idle, he never rests. This idea of rest, it is not talking about Allah. It is not talking about the life plan for man. The idea of rest is talking about, this is not even his loving, but you're talking from a different context now. The idea of rest is talking about the evolutionary process. It's rest. It has come out of chaos, as science says, and as the Quran says, that this creation was in a state of flux, a state of chaos. It was in a state of confusion. And God brought it to form and to settle it. Peace for order. After rest, as the language of the Bible would give it, right? To rest. This is talking about the evolutionary process. There are worlds out in the universe right now that get created. The scientist, the astronomer with his scope, he says, I see a new galaxy being born. A nebula. It's in a gaseous state, it appears. become what? Material body forming eventually another solar system or something, right? He says that we see. Okay. And Allah tells in the Quran that this creation existed as a smoke, as a haze. And it was in violent commotion, violent motion. And God brought it to evolve the world, and the aura became peaceful. Right? Okay, that's one progression. And after he brought the world to rest unto peace, then what he did? He created man. So the man he created was created in that condition. Therefore, that man was created in heaven, wasn't he? He was created in heaven. And he's created in heaven, and after a while he forgets. He gets off from the discipline that God gave him by nature in the original state of creation. Mm-hmm. He gets off from that, and then pretty soon he finds his life. Man's world. He finds his life in the state that the creation was in before this was brought to rest. Right? Now he has to follow the order of creation. The creation didn't think on his own. The creation thought on God's law and came to rest. So now the human being must do the same thing when he finds himself pushed back to day one. He must think on Allah's law, on Allah's will, on Allah's way, and that will bring him to rest. To order, to form, to rest. And it is from the state of order. Peace, that you get what? Prosperity. You can't get prosperity on the basis of confusion. I heard a wise man say, and he was a black and he was an ex-Mexican in this country. He said, you will never have progress until you get peace.
the coffee is
acceptable.
No, I'm not saying the Valerians are black are down because of that. I'm saying that all people that are down because of that. Once you get rid of that, the only way is something.
Just get rid of that attitude of mind. Get rid of that disposition of mind. And the only way is up for you. You will not stay down.
Oh, it's still precious to the purest.
He has his part in it. But Allah says that he has never changed the state of a people until they change the state of their heart. So, Professor, he can only do so much. And Allah says, the devil has no power over you. The only power he has is to invite you. The rest is up to you. He can't force you to do anything. He has only the power to invite you. And the rest is your joy. So how can we come? How can we come when the devil invites us? It's because we have not the right attitude. We have not the right disposition of spirit, of heart, of mind. The disposition has to be right. Now this is very simple. You know, is that the end of it? We need more than that. We can't live on that. That's it. That's it. That's the first step. That's the key. First, see your own power in your own trouble. Glorify God. Say Alhamdulillah, not praise to me. Alhamdulillah. I was in Morocco, and the king there. We were waiting for him for many hours, standing out on the plain in the hills. And I heard what powerful king he was. So I wasn't just upset by the lavish ceremony. If I hadn't heard in advance, I would have been upset, because I don't like to see Muslims be other than themselves. Throwing hats and horns in the front of all the excitement, and come in once, no king. Announce them again, no king. Announce them again, no king. They finally announced him and he really arrived. I said, oh, this is terrible. I can't stomach this thing. And the king came to the mic and he said the very first word that came out of his mouth before he said, Assalamu alaikum, he said, Alhamdulillah. And when he said that, I relaxed. He said the praises for God, and he said that I was awesome. I said, oh, look like my father. And he did. Man about the size of my father, the same complexion, almost the same features, looked like my father. Just a little full of face. Back to look like my father, and didn't times when he had a little wheel in it. Exactly. So dear beloved Muslims, we want a lot of things, and we should live the full life and get all the things that Allah has intended for us. But every trip, as the philosopher said, every travel or every trip begins with what? That first step. And the first step in the religion, in true religion, the first step is to humble yourself and worship Allah, the one Lord. Praise be to Allah. So we ask Allah for his guidance. We ask him to perfect our faith, increase our faith and perfect our knowledge, and increase our knowledge of Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet, and make us better prepared, the community of Muslims, to advance the life of the Muslim and also to complement the good life all around us. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا
وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. With the name Allah, the gracious and compassionate, saluting Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. May the peace be upon his descendants, his followers, his companions, all the righteous. Ameen. Dear Muslims, Allah Most High says to us in Quran in the chapter called the Quraysh, the tribe or the family of Quraysh. We know here family means tribe. And this tribe had branches, had subdivisions, 10 others making up the big family tribe called the Quraysh. And the Quraysh is known for its family bond. Family bond. As most tribes, they are known for their family bond. So the tribe of the family of Quraysh, the one that our Prophet Muhammad was born in. Prophet Muhammad was born a member of the tribe of Quraysh. To show us something that is very universal. Is universal. It's time. To the universal, not just for the Quraysh, but for all people. And I find that we, as people in this country, and not only us, but I find most minorities, when they come into a new environment, a new country, they have to live as a tribal unit. And when they cease to live as a tribal unit, they either become assimilated or mixed thoroughly, they are thoroughly accepted into the mainstream or the broad life of the environment, of the society, or they find themselves deteriorating and still progress. So somewhere between those three, or among those three, all of us are, right now. We're either holding to the family bond, we're either gravitating toward each other for more strength, for more effectiveness in the country, or we are going into, we are trying to assimilate, we're trying to bring ourselves into the, what they call the mainstream, and become part of the melting pot, or blend in the melting pot, right? We're trying to do one or the other, or we represent the worst of these conditions. The one who's neither gravitating towards the bonds, the social bonds of the family, and he's not, nor is he trying to get into the mainstream of the life. So he is not in either of these conditions. Where is he? He is deteriorating. He's not progressing. He's regressing. Right? And I repeat that if we look at ourselves, all of us are in one of those situations, Father. We're in one of those situations. We're trying to do it alone. We're rejecting the power structure. We're rejecting the system.
And also you're rejecting that the call to pool our resources, the call to collect our resources, collect our power, to come together in a collective force.
So we find out
this is exactly what you're hearing. Suffering,
going from bad to worse.
Those who try to get into the mainstream with the mind of the self-rejecting slave who has accepted the image of himself that this world gave him in those days of slavery and Jim Crow, etc. Though he get into the mainstream,
he does not benefit.
He does not find happiness. He does not find peace. He does not find dignity. Oh, he has his showtime, his moment of pleasure, moments of delight, but most of his life is still a hell. Because the reality stays with him, and the non-reality of a show life is just temporary, right?
Yes,
it's just for the moment. He feels good when he walks up to make a purchase, and they say, where's your credit card? He puts his credit card down. They haven't got enough to cover it. They call up, find out he has $100,000 into that checking account. And they call up and get that, you know, they just feel good. He kind of does that. Hey, you want my signature then? All right. But now, that happens every now and then. What's constantly on his mind is the fact that my life is not established. And everywhere I go, I have to prove myself. Because there's a stigma on me that goes wherever I go. How do you change the stigma? You have to go back and stop denying the orphan. Right? You belong to a community of orphans. And when people see you, hey, you want an orphan. Now you get all this money and your people ain't got nothing. You stole this? Every time a black man goes to do business with a white man, or a red man, or a yellow man, or any other color man, and he knows them. If he does big business, they be looking at him like he stole something.
Right.
He doesn't have the dignity. He doesn't even not accept it. His money is not treated like the money of our blood citizens. They look at him like he stole something. So isn't this a sign to us that anytime the whole family is falling, the whole family has been put in a bad light, that you can't change any member of the family until the whole family image has been changed? Many of us have realized this, many Christian blacks, many of us have realized this, that all of our efforts to free ourselves as individuals comes for nothing. Because when we find ourselves with the comfort we thought would give us the dignity in the world, it's not there, because we bear the stigma of the family. We need the lesson of the Quran.
Come on. Yeah, you're right.
For the protection of the Quran, of his family. He asked, he was rich, and then she said, it was funny. Their protection is granted to them through the travel in both times of
winter and summer.
What is this talking about?
Oh, we know it's talking directly to the South Tribal Police. Because we have such strong family bonds. And they all recognize the Starbucks as common property. It was not the property of any special one, common property. Then they all had the right to go there and do trade. They had the right to visit the sacred precinct. And in the time of what they call it, in the time of commerce, business time, when they go to trade, time of trade, they all could carry their commodities there. It wasn't a closed market against any of them. The market was open to all participants because they recognized that as a common market, market belonging equally to all, right? All right, so we know that they enjoyed those benefits, and when it was winter, the same conditions remained. In summer, the same conditions remained. But what is it speaking to on a higher level of understanding? It is speaking to the winters and summers of life.